Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to the very first ever post-NXT Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Pulowski. And normally on my Raw and SmackDown reviews, I like to say everything sucks. But it's NXT, and it's a new time. It's a new era. It's post-TakeOver. Right after TakeOver Stand, and also TakeOver Deliver. And I'm looking forward to seeing what WWE NXT has in store for us over the next few months. So, here's how the deal goes. I've been doing a show on Fightful Select for over a year now, talking about Raw and SmackDown, and those shows have mostly sucked. This does not suck. NXT usually does not suck. So I'm going to be a lot less sour, but I'm always going to call them like I see them. And that's the deal. You can always trust me to be honest about what I feel about the shows. Some people say I'm overly negative. Well, try talking about Raw from last night without being a little on the overly negative side. Tonight should be different. Okay, so I want to first say that you can subscribe to Fightful Select and get my show, plus Sean Ross Sapp's news and everything else. Should do that, because following this show, I do the show over there talking about Raw. Also, hey, you should send in Super Chats if you feel like it, and then you'll get your question or statement read on the air, like this one. Evan Wright, thank you, Evan. Evan says, here to support Alex because he rules. Wasn't a massive fan of the show tonight. We'll give it another try. Have a great stream. This is a weird, thank you. This is a weird kind of feeling out phase, I feel like, for NXT. It's their first new show on the new night. No AEW. No, we gotta make sure we get those 18 to 49s or whatever the hell the demo is. And so they're not, I don't think they're panicking. So be prepared for some slow builds. Okay. Lorenzo Torres, thank you for the super chat. Says, I really like this episode. It felt different. It did feel different. It felt a little bit, dare I say it, like the older NXT before it was on TV, because it felt like they were trying some new talent out, which is always interesting. And I'm kind of here for that. Like in Spite says, first rule in wrestling, you either rot as a babyface or be such a badass heel that eventually gets cheered. Having a name in all caps doesn't count. Okay. Okay. I don't know exactly what that is. Missed my Alex Theater Class super chat last week, so here to make up for it. Also happy that Indy got her serial killer. We're all happy when one of us gets our serial killer. Thank you very much, Boris Nizovich. Chris Range says, here for the best one-man show in the business. Alex, thank you so much, Chris, for supporting for a long time. QAnon loving boring-ass cross can kick rocks. L-O-L. Well, let's talk about Mr. Cross. I have not been shy about my proclivities when it comes to Mr. Cross. He... I'm not saying I don't think he's a good talented wrestler, because I think he is. I don't think he's this. I don't think he's super undefeatable monster guy. I just don't think he's that yet. Maybe he could be, but they haven't done enough to actually show that here for me. Make sure we're gonna hear it. Okay, so let's see. Gem One Charade says, this NXT was damn near perfect for me. This felt like what the Raws after Mania used to feel like, with big debuts, big moments, and title changes. yeah, actually, this felt a little bit more like a Raw after Mania than the Raw after Mania. So let's really quickly, I'm going to try and get back to the Super Chats when I can. thank you for all the well wishes, everybody. I'm reading this in the chat. It really makes me feel good. wasn't sure how this is going to go, and we still don't, because I haven't really actually started the show yet. Cross comes out to deliver his I'm the champion now. They do the deal with his, this is my thing with him. He and his wife, Scarlett, don't feel like they're part of the same act to me anymore. They used to feel like more like that, but now just Cross feels like this badass leather daddy, you know? His wife is a mistress of the dark arts. She's a witchy sorceress, and I don't feel like those two things meld very well for me. So it doesn't. It just feels like it's off. It is weird. I don't know if anybody else noticed this. It appears that NXT has a new logo this evening, which is NXT, the NXT logo, but now has a pair of black raven's wings and a golden skull right above the X in the NXT. And I feel like if you needed more prompting to realize that this brand is run by Triple H and they've chosen Karrion Kross to be their champion, just look at the logo, because that is an A1 sign that's what they're doing here. He's not for me. The promo, he puts over Finn Balor, gets cheered by the crowd as a babyface. I don't know what we're doing here. The crowd is going to be a problem all night long. Not all night long, but in certain spots, which is weird to me. What do you do with Cross as champion now is the main deal. And there's no hint of that yet. There's no, Finn Balor doesn't show up and ask for a rematch, which is normally what they do. So that's good. I'm all here for no more rematches. If we're going to call WrestleMania TakeOver, it's the WrestleMania weekend TakeOver as well as WrestleMania. I think major feuds should end at those major shows. And then we build to something new, and it could take us into the summer. And then the TakeOver around SummerSlam time, that's where those feuds end. And then we build to the fall and War Games. And the people who come out of the stuff around SummerSlam time, they break off into different things and they form factions, and those factions are organically grown. And then when you put them into a War Games, it actually feels like it's earned. That's what I like. So I want that for this. So I'm glad that they're not jumping right into something with Cross unless they know for a fact who they're going to do for Cross. I thought it was good of him to put over Balor, but it didn't feel like Crossian, you know? Again, this is the other thing for me and Scarlett. I think she's really talented. By all accounts, she's a very talented person. She adds nothing to this act. She lip syncs to the weight of the ring. Sometimes she uses her dark witchy powers to conjure up fireballs and make guys give tag team championship matches, but that's it. She didn't do anything for the promo. She handed him a microphone. If you're going to have her there and be such a visually striking part of the team, have her do something is my only recommendation for that. But Cross basically says, anybody who wants, I'll stack you all up if you want to come and mess with me. So there you go. Back to some of these super chats here. Blah, 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 blah. Best of luck on the episode, Alex. Thank you so much, Learner Guru. Tonight's episode kicked all of the ass. Women's champion segment brought a tear to my eye. Yeah, we'll talk about that. That was kind of an amazing spot. I love that. Tonight felt like what last night should have been, says ResDog92. Alex, you're awesome as always. Thank you guys so much for all the love. I feel very welcomed. And Frank Aguilar says, I've been a fan since you and SRS lost it over Braun flipping Roman over in the stretcher. That is an all-time Fightful Pod moment. Yeah. Awesome to see Sour Graps here on the main channel. Thank you, Frank. the next thing that happens is weird. Now, we saw Killian Dane and Drake Maverick. They won their tag team title shot at the pre-show for, it was either TakeOver Stand or TakeOver Deliver. I'm not really sure. I don't remember which one it was. Was it TakeOver Deliver? I think it was, they won their title shot on TakeOver Deliver. And so that's good. That's cool to see them get a title shot facing MSK. MSK came out, the hot, new, young, fresh, babyface, fun to watch, high-flying, super athletic spot doing tag team champions, just became tag team champions. They came out for their first show as tag team champions and get roundly booed, which I did not have on my bingo card. I did not think they'd be doing that. So that was new to me. There was some people on the side, like facing the hard cam, like directly behind, that were just doing like a hard thumbs down, like a nope, we do not like these guys. I'm like, if you're a Grizzled Young Vets fan, I feel you, because I'm big into the GYV, but hey, like your team that you love lost, and that sucks. But like, it's not MSK's fault. They didn't do the booking. They're not the Young Bucks. Oh, I missed what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that show tonight. What I'm saying is, they didn't choose who won the title. Like, they got put over. Yeah. Like, let's give them a shot before we start standing in front of the hard cam going, boo, MSK, your high flying antics make me go boo. That was a weird thing, I thought. It was very startling and not a great sign. Like, I've been on record saying, I can't wait for crowds to be back. I can't wait for the first time a crowd really goes into business for themselves. And I was wrong, because this is not a good business. This is like, you opened a business like right downtown, high traffic area. And what you sell is like carpet, samples that have been smeared with dog poop. That's not a good business. Why would you go into that business for yourself? That business is not a good business. Don't go into that business. Like, open a smoothie shop. Everyone loves smoothies. Go into that business for yourself. That's what I'm saying. If you're a crowd and you want to go into business for yourself, just pick the right business. Like, Scotty's poop smeared carpet samples. That's not a good business. Anyway. Justin Lopez says, holy poop emoji. This isn't Sour Graps. LOL, killer bro. Thank you. The match, I think, is great. It allows all four guys to do really good stuff. MSK, Wes Lee is just insane. He had this weird corkscrew thing off the top rope that just looked insane. I don't know how many velocitations and spinny roonies he did in the air. It was like, basically, he did an off the top rope spin a rooney. And it was pretty amazing. I really like MSK. I'm not going to be in the hard cam side going with the thumbs down. That's not me. I'm not that guy. I thought this was really good. I thought Maverick had a chance to do some really good offense. Dane did too. This is a really good match. This, believe it or not, is what NXT used to be known for. Really great matches. Like, here's a title match. here's somebody you might not expect to be in a title match, like Killian Dane and Drake Maverick. I mean, although they did win their title shot, but like, you know what I mean? Not really expected them to be in the title contention. And they killed it. It's a great match, but they're not going to win it. That's not how they're doing this here. Although they did do it like that later. So that's a weird thing. But, excuse me, I think that that it's been it's a good thing that we're getting back to the NXT of old, where the matches are routinely very, very, very good, have good spots in there for everybody. Everybody gets to look great, and we move on. And the thing we're moving on to, in a lot of different ways, is we thought for a while it looked like Alexander Wolf, Killian Dane's old stablemate in Sanity. Remember Sanity? Remember how awesome they were? Remember that War Games match? Remember how that was so good? And then they went to the main roster, and then Vince said, ha-ha, LOL, nope. Not going to book you guys to do anything. And then Killian Dane went back to NXT, and Wolf went to NXT UK, and Eric Young got fired, I think, during a pandemic. Now he's back at TNA, Impact. So good for Eric Young. But anyway, Wolf and Dane were maybe commiserating. Maybe Dane would join Imperium, which is Wolf's new stable that he's a part of. Well, no. He came out, and Dane and him looked at each other, you know, sized each other up a little bit. And then the rest of Imperium, Eichner and Bartel came in and laid waste everybody. They get to stand tall. It looked like they were just kind of laying claim to everything. They had a video package later where Walter narrated it, but he's back in the UK now. He narrated it, and he was like, you know, we rule over everything we want to. So I think the Imperium is kind of basically saying, like, we used to be tag champs, we want it back, and why not? It's wide open now. MSK apparently is getting booed by the Capital Wrestling Center. So that's interesting development. And there are a lot of people who want that title, those titles. We will talk more about something else along those lines later. So Aaliyah and Robert Stone, they want the women's tag title shot that was owed to Aaliyah and Jessica Maia. Jessica Maia wasn't cleared for reasons, and Mercedes Martinez stepped in, former client, I suppose, of Robert Stone Management, and she said, "You're going to give me, this is the money you're going to give me now, and then after the match, win or lose, I get the other half. This is half." So she came to collect. And Jessica Maia, who's a lot taller than I thought she was, but she was probably wearing like some really heeled boots, she says, how about you and me? And Mercedes Martinez is never one to back down. So, yeah. Lorenzo Torres, talking about Killer Cross, says, "I hate his forearm finisher. Is so lackluster." Yeah, I'm not a fan of Torres's Cross's finisher, of his form thing. Don't like the straight jacket either. It just feels like it's Akira Fuda clutch, Kokina clutch, straight jacket. They're all the same move. Asuka lock is like that, but like with an arm tied around your back. You can only have so many people doing that. He's a big dude. Maybe it's like, I mean, the Saito suplex, I feel like is a transitional move. I don't know what else he could do, but he could figure out a way to do it. Do that, because the forum thing ain't it. Thank you very much, Lorenzo, for that super chat. Yeah, get in your super chats, guys, and I will read them as they come in, as I see them. And we can have a little discussion about your thoughts. So Marcia Martinez versus Jessica Maia is made. The match is made. Roderick Strong and his wife show up, arrive to the building. I'll just go to this later. I'll just do this now from later. Roderick Strong hands over a manila envelope to William Regal in his office. And William Regal is very saddened by this. But it appears Roderick Strong is done. He says, I'm done. He's there with his wife, Marina Shafir. And but Weagle says, you're always welcome here in NXT. I would hope, because he's great. I don't know, like, main roster seems like something. He's got enough size that he could make it work. He's got his working boots on, man. This guy, he's great. I don't know if, like, it would seem weird if they were like, we want to make a storyline out of him leaving us to go back to ROH. That would seem weird to me. So you're planning on jumping ship to AEW, are you? Well, let's just write out a little scenelet for you to portray with Mr. Regal. That doesn't seem like something they would do. I'm assuming this is all storyline, and we'll find out what that is later, though I would not at all put it past them to just try and, you know, hey, you're going to the main roster. Let's make a thing of it, kind of. Because the thing he's done about is they show Kyle O'Reilly defeating Adam Cole, and then post-show footage of Cole being loaded on a stretcher and a backboard, and O'Reilly, like, collapsing backstage. And they put him in different ambulances, and they take them two blocks, apparently, looks like it, about two blocks, to the same local medical facility. And then they wheel them into the same emergency room, like right next to each other. And Kyle's just sitting up in his stretcher, just over it. And Cole is like, you're a piece of ass. Am I allowed to question for a piece of shit? Oops. What was I supposed to say? You're a piece of shit. You're a son of a bitch. And, they made a big deal about how, people were saying, Adam Cole on the post takeover call. They made a big deal. Triple H and Shawn Michaels did about, wow, everyone thinks Adam Cole's going to the main roster now. One loss and you're out, huh? Pfft. Listen, guys. Okay. It's just a different chapter. He'll be around. He's got things to do, believe me. It's just a different chapter he's telling him in NXT, okay? It's fine. Turns out that different chapter is just the same chapter told over again. I love Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. I think they had a pretty good match at TakeOver, twice as long as it needed to be, but I thought it was pretty good. I don't know if you need to keep them fighting each other. Like, do you have nothing else for them to do? Okay, I suppose. But it feels like the unsanctioned match, the one we have to, like, have a hold harmless agreement where we sign it together, and then we have a pull-apart brawl on the stage, and they have this amazing, like, video package they create where, like, I don't know if there's an amazing spot in there where they were like, hey, you guys, let's have Cole standing over O'Reilly in the video package, but then we'll, like, use CGI to make it rain. Like, it's an amazing video package. You go to all that and have them have an unsanctioned match last like 48 minutes at TakeOver, and it ends with a dude wrapping a chain around his knee to drive it into the back of his friend's head. Can that just not be the blow-off anymore? Do we not have blow-off matches? So I guess they're going to keep on doing this because O'Reilly says so. Nate F., 81, $5 Super Chat. Thank you very much for Super Chat. I'll take it. But if you want to throw some asterisks in front of it, if you had one you say you didn't actually get one in there, I'll certainly read it. Matthew Makovsky says, one-man show. You got this, Alex. Imperium talk. Are we talking? You thinking of Finn Balor versus Walter feud is starting soon? Also, who should step up to cross? Okay, great. I think Finn Balor going back to Ireland, because they want to do TakeOver Dublin. They still want to do it in June if it's possible. They're going to do it as soon as they can. So NXT UK TakeOver Dublin seems like the perfect thing for Balor to show up at and fight Walter. He wasn't on the show tonight. I think it's something they could do. Who steps up to cross? Well, I feel like he's going to hold it for a while. Maybe they're going to have somebody step up to him who's, you know, not going to do well for themselves. And a few of those guys in a row because they want to keep Cross as strong as an ox. But I think the guy to eventually take it off of him should be Kyle O'Reilly. I don't know when that happens, but I think that should be the guy to do it eventually. the Jam Wench Ray says, can't wait to see that MSK versus Grizzled Old Violence match. although I'm hoping Thatch betrays Ciampa and joins Imperium. Well, I hope they're the best friends forever. I hope they're like the fox and the hound in that one movie. Just friends forever. We'll talk more about that in a bit. So Mercedes Martinez versus Chelsea Kamea is one of those old-time NXT matches. You have the person who's in the match, who's fighting an upstart. You know that the veteran or the person who's at least booked higher on the card is definitely going to win. It's a glorified squash, but the person who's going to lose gets in a bunch of good shit, pal. That's Jessica Maia. Jessica Maia lost to two moves, a running knee, and then Martinez's finisher. It's like a running air raid crash thing. It's like a side air raid crash. That was it. That was basically the only two things that Martinez hit in the match. Before that, Kamea was doing all kinds of stuff to Martinez. Looked good doing it too. So this weird like twisting elbow off a springboard into the ring. Like she was in the ring, jumped up. It's good. She's good. She's better than I thought she was. And that's what these matches do. These kinds of pseudo squashes, if you let the person who's getting squashed hit some good stuff, I'm watching it going, when she stepped up to Mercedes Martinez, I was like, oh, honey, you're going to die. And then I was watching the match going, hell, I didn't know Jessica Maia could do like 90% of this stuff. And that's what this match achieves. Allows people to see new things. And that's good. That's very good. oh, gosh. These are a lot of super chats that I've missed. Okay, so I'm going to go into the super chats because there are a lot of them. I'm going to save that one, Jamie, for a second. J.K. Schwal is at a Brewer game, so can't watch live, but excited to catch the replay later. Fun doubleheader of Alex Knight. Thank you so much, Jake Schwal. Go Brew Crew. I live in Milwaukee. For those of you who don't know, hi from Milwaukee. Rob Reed is as cynical as I normally am when I talk about Raw and SmackDown. Rob Reed says, I expect Roddy to be chasing R-Truth on Monday. Okay, not really, but I wouldn't put it past them. Not on Monday. Mid-June. Guys, you got to give it until mid-June, then he's going to be chasing R-Truth. So I did appreciate that Mercedes Martinez, after beating Jessica Maia, attacks Robert Stone, who's wearing what they say is diamond encrusted gloves. Dude, just sell the gloves if you can't pay Martinez, but he can because he's been holding out on her. He's got a fat stack of 20s or 100s, whatever they are, fives. I'm not sure how much he owed her. He may have like owed her 20 bucks and she's just really serious. If you owe her money, she is coming to collect. I have no idea how much he owed her. But he gave her a stack of money after she extorted him for it. And then she goes over and she says to right at Vic Joseph, Raquel Gonzalez, congratulations, champion. I'm coming for you. And Vic Joseph is like, I'm not Raquel Gonzalez. He doesn't say that, but I wish he did. And I know that's how we do. We have people, they put out threats via the people who were the commentators. I was always found it silly. But totally here for Mercedes Martinez versus Raquel Gonzalez. That could be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. So Mackenzie Mitchell interviews The Way. They are... they're very funny. I appreciate I appreciate them a lot. I don't appreciate Austin Theory very much, but the stuff I can appreciate is the fact that he is totally able to poke fun at himself. And that's a big deal to me. Like, if you aren't so serious that you can't allow yourself to play a goof when the role forces you to play a goof, then I gain some measure of respect for that. Candace says Ember and Shotzi got lucky at TakeOver. Indy, and she's going to handle business tonight. And Indy's like, I want to handle my business with Dexter. And I was like, Indy, stop. He's a serial killer. Please don't handle your business with him. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But that was there's that. Okay. Seamus Dunn. NXT a million times better than that hot garbage last night. Look forward to watching every Tuesday and then tuning into Legendary Sarah Gibbs immediately after. Thank you so much, Seamus. Any relation to the Seamus on Raw? That's a joke. So Justin Lopez talking about Cole and O'Reilly. That match should have been Loser Leaves NXT. I don't see where you go with Cole from here. I can see Kyle being champion eventually, though. Yeah. I don't know where you go with Cole here either. I don't know what you do with him. The thing that would seem like such a huge step down for him, but one promo from him would change that. He could be the guy who says, you know what? I believe that Kushida being champion of the cruiserweights is he's not good enough. So I'm going to be the real champion and I'm going to bring the cruiserweight belt. Cause everyone says that they're going to bring the cruiserweight belt to thing. It would seem like a huge step down for Cole, but there was a guy by the name of, Adrian Neville who once held that same belt a few years ago. And he made it the most badass thing in the world. So I could absolutely see Cole's being like, it's an important title because I wear it. He's definitely under the limit. So I wouldn't mind seeing some Cole versus Kushida matches. Listen, I don't know what you do with Cole. Maybe that's a thing you do with Cole. So Swerve Scott does a recording studio promo. It's very good. He's very good at this. I've been a fan of him since Lucha Underground. Somebody else is on the show tonight. Two more people that I've been a fan of since Lucha Underground. Lucha Underground, respect. He's going to have a match with Leon Ruff, and he will finish him tonight. Me and you are done, Leon Ruff. Well, spoiler alert. They're not done after tonight. #, we need new feuds. Not that the stuff isn't good. I like fresh things. Fresh, new. You smell, that's that new feud smell. Ah, it's so good. We'll see some more of that. So Escobar comes out fresh off his amazing title win, unification win, ladder match versus Jordan Devlin. Great match. Right guy won. I loved his, like, I got two belts now. One of them is for my kid, which is a cool little gesture. He says that I'm the greatest in the world, just like my father was, just like my son will be. I liked that. But now we're going to have an open challenge. So anybody can challenge me, and it's Kushida. And I was like, as soon as he came out, I was like, you know, we've seen Kushida here for a few years, and we're always talking about, when are they going to belt up Kushida? When are they going to put the strap on my man? And they have seemingly wasted all those opportunities. He had a match versus Peter Dune at a TakeOver, and he lost. It's a good match. And I think somehow, I was really sad that Kushida lost, but also Peter Dunne was the right guy to win. If that makes any sense, because I feel like you gotta keep Dunn at that level just so he can lose to Cross. Unfortunately, I feel like that's one of those guys they're going to sacrifice to Karrion Cross along the way. So Kushida coming out, not booked by Regal since he lost a few days ago, but as an open challenge. That was the match I thought we were definitely going to get when they did this tournament back in the spring, summer last year, to the round robin tournament. I thought we were going to be like, hey, what we're definitely getting Kushida versus Phantasma, right? This is when they was, you know, Eel del Phantasma at that point. He hadn't yet become Santos Escobar. We're definitely getting Kushida versus Phantasma, and we didn't. They booked the tournament all wrong. So we never got to see that amazing clash between Kushida and Santos for the belt. And we got to see it tonight. And who doggies? My goodness. This is the old NXT kind of. This is weird. The new NXT is the old NXT. This time it's got Black Raven's wings and a golden skull. It's extreme. It's edgy. Can't you feel the edge? But edgy NXT I'll lay off as long as they continue to produce matches the quality of Kushida versus Santos, because that was awesome. Great damn match. So good. It's the right call for Kushida to win. It's absolutely the right call, because Santos proved with his match versus Cross, he's ready to feud with the big boys. He's even got his lads with him who can help even the odds against a much larger guy. This is not something I would wish on my worst enemy, considering their treatment of Andrade and Angel Garza. But Santos Escobar is made for the main roster for, you know, 2 months, and then Vince puts him on main event. But if they don't, he's perfect. Like, he can talk, he's great looking. He can go. Like, he would have some badass matches with some people. He's really, 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 really good. I'm not saying I want him up there, considering what they did to Andrade, considering what they're currently doing to Angel Garza. But if that's where he's headed soon after this championship loss, I think he could make it if Vince doesn't tire of him. I really like watching Santos Escobar wrestle, so I'd rather he didn't go to the main roster. But you get what I'm saying. This was so good. I thought it was a really great all the counters and everything. The hoverboard lock being countered by Escobar in a bunch of different ways. The awesome pinfall that they sold me, what I thought, oh no, Kushida's not going to win, was the foot on the rope. That was really good. It was all great, guys. It's so good. And Kushida being the champion is great for him. They finally put some gold on Kushida. Like, Jesus, it took you long enough. And Santos, as I said, is ready to feud with anybody. He doesn't need to be his cruiserweight guy anymore. I'm assuming he'll have his rematch, but he's beyond cruiserweight now. He's definitely a guy who can go with somebody. Like, for example, if they want to keep Kyle busy, and before, regardless of what you out there in the Fightful Faithful think, and what I think, Karrion Kross is probably going to have a decent-sized title run. I don't think they're going to Keith Lee him. Although they might. That's another guy who's totally made for Vince. Like, as soon as Vince sees him, he's going up. But until that point, because I think also Triple H is living vicariously through Karrion Kross. I think, oh, you remind me of me, young lad. Let's make you a monster the way I should have been booked to be. But if you're going to keep Kyle O'Reilly busy while you're not having him face Karrion Kross, then for God's sake, man, you don't have to do Adam Cole. You could do Kyle O'Reilly versus Santos Escobar. You could give me that all day and twice on Sunday. Thank you very much. So I'm so glad that Kushida won. Oh, goodness. Goodness, goodness me. Super chats. Thank you guys so much. Please, if you want your statement right on the air, I'm doing it now. So thank you very much. Cole and K-O-R. Valab. Mamidi. That's not fair. I do not want to butcher your name, sir, so I'm not going to attempt to read it. Kyle and K-O-R feel like it's Triple H versus Shawn Michaels all over again. There are two guys backstage who you mentioned who are pulling the strings when booking this thing. So, yeah. Triple H and Shawn Michaels going, hey, guys, we had a feud once. Why don't you have the same one? This is for the conference call voice dying at work. Oh, thank you so much. Bobby Fish is probably sitting at home wondering where he fits in all this. Personally, I'd see a UE Fatal 4-Way at some point. Well, we can't. Roddy left. He's gone. He'll never come back. I would like to see that too. Bobby Fish is the least of my concerns. That guy was always, to me, treated as such, and is as such, the fourth member of the UE. He'll come back and probably he'll attack Kyle O'Reilly. Maybe they'll team up again for a little tag team run. I don't know. We'll see. We shall see. Alex O'Soul on the free side gets a personalized graphic overlay interacting in the chat. Piped in chant, you deserve it. Thank you very much, Walsh Walsh. Did you happen to notice when Karrion was out there and there were two people in the audience who were going, you deserve it. You deserve it. No? Okay, we'll stop now. That was very funny to me. There was a two-person you deserve it chance that got 1.5 you deserve it. That was funny. Andrew Nally says, really enjoyed NXT tonight. Super excited that Kushida won tonight. Also, big Taya Valkyrie fan. So is this guy. That's me pointing a thumb at myself. This guy is definitely also a big Taya Valkyrie fan. We'll talk about her in a second. No relation to Sheamus, unfortunately, says Sheamus Dune. It's done like Pete Dunne, though not Dune like Sand Dune. I know. I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend. Kyle O'Reilly at one point called Pete Dunne Peter Dune. And so anytime I see the name written like Pete Dunne, I always say Dune. Sorry about that. Loving the show. Thank you so much, Sheamus. So, Tommaso Ciampa. Oh, I should mention this. Later in the show, just we get all the Kushida thing together, Kushida's in the trainer's office, and Jordan Devlin comes up and says, hey, congratulations, champ. I want that title belt back, and I'm sure they'll do a Kushida versus Jordan Devlin match. I think, didn't Devlin already beat Kushida a few months ago? Am I misremembering that? I think that was a thing where I was like, damn it, why is Kushida losing the giant head guy? Sorry, Jordan. But that's your name in my head. Finn Balor on big head mode should never defeat Kushida. And I hope he doesn't when they have this match. Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher are backstage. Reunited again. Reunited and it feels so good. Reunited and it's understood that Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher, or as I will refer to them on this podcast in perpetuity and for always, Tommy and Timmy are best friends. They are only going to be best friends. I don't want to hear any slander about anybody turning on each other because I enjoy friendship. I'm pro-friendship. We are pro-friendship on the post-NXT Sour Graps, and I will hear nothing of it. Nobody's turning on anybody. Although somebody's turning on somebody later. I'm sure somebody's going to turn. There'll be a lot of people turning on each other. But Tommy and Timmy are best friends. Ciampa talks most of the time about how they, you know, they've been through. Again, this is a thing like Timothy Thatcher, old Timmy, old Toothless Timmy. He had to miss some time. And while he was missing some time, quote unquote, Tommaso Ciampa accused Imperium of kidnapping him, and Imperium did not deny it. But apparently he was just, you know, hanging out at home, and his cell phone had died, and he didn't realize it. That's all. Just taking a long nap. Just old Rip Van Winkle, Timothy Thatcher, woke up like, what time is it? 5 a.m.? Yeah, that kind of a thing. You ever had one of those naps where you don't realize you're falling asleep, and you wake up and it's dark, and you look over, and it says like 7, and you don't know if it's a.m. or p.m.? That happens to me more often than I'd like. Anyway, he says that they passed all the tests, even though they've lost some matches. Now they're ready to face a new NXT, a new land shape. Thatcher says, new NXT champions, new NXT tag team champions. Which path to choose? Well, we always finish what we started. And Ciampa says, MSK, we're coming. And then Ciampa does this thing where he stands up really fast and throws the chair he's sitting on behind him. And he exits out of the frame. And Timmy, sits there looking dead-eyed straight ahead and then grins his toothless grin. And it's great. And I love it. And I've watched the GIF of that, no lie, 800 times. It's great. I love this guy as an act. I love that they will work baby or heel whenever you need them to. They should definitely be tag champs at some point. I hope they're best friends forever and never, ever, ever break up. Cue Timothy Thatcher turning on Tommaso Ciampa like next week or something, I'm sure. So here's a big moment in the match. Raquel and Dakota walking backstage. They go in there and Dakota Kai introduces Raquel. Raquel gets some "you deserve a chance." She's definitely given a babyface promo. I mean, it's a badass babyface promo, but it's a babyface promo. So they've done something with her where she's no longer the crazy evil rip you apart person. I mean, she probably is in the ring, but not outside the ring. I'm fine with it. Let's see where this goes. There's a very good promo about, you know, where we've come. It's fine. She's better at talking than I gave her credit for. That's good. These kind of promos for people we don't actually hear talk a lot are probably good to let us know whether or not people can actually hang. Great. Perfect. Then Frankie Monet shows up, and I'm a big Taya Valkyrie fan, as some of you are as well, going from way back to Lucha Underground. I expect I'm going to be a big Frankie Monet fan. Although, if you're going to have her come out and call herself Huera Loca and do a bunch of insults in Spanish, Frankie Monet, which is very much like in a gangster movie from like 1938, the lead gangster has a girlfriend whose name is Frankie Monet. Like that's the name. That's not Huera Loca. That's a French name, Monet. That's not at all Spanish. So if you're going to keep her, have her do that, which is great from over time in Mexico, I think it's a really cool thing, but Frankie Monet belies that. Whether or not it's a good name, I'm lukewarm on it. I don't love it. I don't hate it. People hate it. Well, I hate it too compared to Taya Valkyrie. That's a great name, but I can see why she might not want to give them control of that once she leaves in like 4 years, probably. Anyway, she comes out and she says, Felicidades, campeona. She's carrying the dog, by the way. We haven't found out what the dog's name is. Pomeranian. She's carrying the dog through the whole damn promo. She's carrying the dog. That's a well-behaved dog. I want to formally introduce myself to you and to the world. The best division in the world got a little bit shinier, a little bit bougier, a whole lot better. You'll be seeing a whole lot more of me every week. And God says, well, you're lucky I'm in a good mood, because if you interrupt her like that again, that's a cute dog. If you interrupt me again, I'm going to shove him straight up your culo, which is exactly what you're thinking it is if you don't speak Spanish. Frankie leaves, exits outside, and then we hear now Dakota put over Raquel a lot in her introduction. She's been there the whole way. They've been talking back and forth. She was part of the promo that was pretty much establishing Raquel as a new badass babyface champion. So put a pin in that, because immediately after this, here comes Rhea Ripley. Newly minted Raw Women's Champion Rhea Ripley comes out, who was an absolute blood rival of Raquel when they were last in NXT together. She comes out, she looks all angry, but then they clink belts and hug, and it's very nice. I'm so proud of you, says Rhea. What a great moment. What a great moment, I thought. And then Bianca Belair's music hits, and she comes out, and they all hug, and they show up a picture of them training together. Like they all like pose like it was for like the cover of a R&B album from 1999. It was great. It's a really cool little shot, but it was posted a lot on social media, the three of them from a few years ago. And now they're all champions. It's a new era for women's wrestling in all of WWE. They all raise their championships. It's a really amazing moment. Loved it. For all that it symbolizes and all that it does for Raquel and all that it could do for Dakota Kai, because she was not a part of that celebration. As soon as Rhea came out and they clinked belts, she vanished. They didn't show her again. So it's very easy to think, perhaps, young Miss Kai might find that a little distressing. Might get a little jealous. Might turn on her best friend, Raquel. Now, do I want that to happen? No. I like friendship, as we've said. We're pro-friendship here on the post-NXT Fightful Sour Grap Show. But if they got to do it, there should be a reason for it. And like, I made you, Raquel. You and me, we rose up the ranks together. Like, you're not going to just leave me behind, make me feel like nothing when these other champs come back to, like, no. So that's something they could absolutely do if they chose to do so. Okay, so what else are we having? Love That Women's Segment, says Rob Reed. Love That Women's Segment. Show the new champ, debut the new star, and have the two new main roster champs pass the torch to Raquel. Just wish they didn't change Taya Valkyrie's name. Agreed. And yet, they love throwing their own, their own stamp on things. And deciding, well, that's ours now. We own your name now. And I don't think she wants them to do that. She's built that is a brand name on the indies. The Jam One Charade says, or Charade, says that 8-person tag match was great. But Indy was the star of it. Her comedy was gold and had me laugh my butt off. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit. That was a lot of fun. Okay. So how are we doing, guys? I feel like that crowd, says Ken Shiro, I feel like that crowd had no clue who Taya was. She would have gotten a much bigger reaction. She also surprised she could keep La Guerra Loca. Well, you know, I don't know. Is that trademarked? Are they going to trademark that? I'm not really sure. I also feel like they didn't really know who she was, which is a shame. The old Full Sail crowd would have known. So I don't know. Andrew Nally says Jordan and Devin being called Finn Balor on Big Head Mode pop me. Thank you so much. I am only here to pop myself and hopefully a large percentage of you. That's the only reason we do these things, man. On the post SmackDown show, I've decided forever that Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode will be only referred to as Riggler and Zood, only because it makes me laugh. So yeah, we're very self-indulgent here, and I apologize for nothing. Justin Lopez says, took me back to 2015 to NXT Brooklyn. This was their four horsewomen moment. I agree. Raquel turned especially with Frankie and Martinez calling her out. Yeah, they're definitely making Raquel feel like a badass babyface. I just hope they don't take away all of her edge. She shouldn't be selling for certain people in the ring. I don't think. Leon Ruff versus Isaiah Swerve Scott. Another old-timey NXT classic. God, these guys really, really, really together. It's a really great Ruff has really, really surprised. Of all the guys, I want you to think about this. Like, obviously, the pandemic was bad and is bad, continues to be so. But the silver lining for NXT is Leon Ruff. Like, that guy being back in the old, like when Raw and SmackDown were taping at the Performance Center in front of nobody, like no fans, no Thunderdome, nothing. That guy got called in to job to everybody, but like sold like a maniac on like a couple. Remember Aleister Black? He was doing some stuff to Mr. Leon Ruff, his black mass kick, where it looked like he had literally murdered Leon Ruff. And Leon Ruff got a couple of shots on NXT, turned it into a surprise victory over Johnny Gargano, became the U.S. North American champion, had that for a while, and now he's made forever. Like, he's made forever, meaning not only was I a North American champion in NXT, it wasn't a fluke. I defended that thing, okay? I had some great matches while I was champion, and now I'm having great matches every time I get in the ring. He's really, really good. I don't know if he has a career in NXT, really, without all that. I'm so happy for him because he's great and I love watching him. And he and Swerve had a great match, just a great damn match. I was so excited by this. Watch it. If you haven't seen it, find it. There's some great counters and stuff. It's really, really good. Scott hits his finisher for the win. I love these guys. I love them so much that I'm not mad when Swerve Scott is backstage saying, "Didn't you hear me? That was it. Leon Ruff and I are done. We're never doing that again." And I was like, "Well, I suppose that's correct. I mean, you did hit him with your finisher and you pinned him. That's fine." And then Leon Ruff comes out of nowhere, smashes his back of his head into the lockers, hits him with a road box in the arm, and he says, "We are not done. We're not done." And I was like, "Listen, I know, hashtag we need new feuds. However, these guys are great together. And I am nothing if not a man of contradictions. So, yeah, we can totally do one more of these. Leon Ruff versus Isaiah Swerve Scott. I think the right guy to put over in the end is Swerve Scott. I think there's a place on your roster for a babyface, an underdog babyface who can really go in the ring, but who does lose. We want him to win, but him losing puts over the heel in a bigger way because we really root for the guy, because he's undersized, because he can do some amazing things in the ring. And when eventually you really put him over hard as a babyface, that's going to be a moment for everybody. I don't think just winning this feud with Swerve Scott is a big enough moment to do the big put over thing for Leon. But yeah, my God, it's great. So Mackenzie interviews Zoe Stark, who had a win over Toni Storm at TakeOver. And I was, because this is WWE still, it may be NXT and it may be new Tuesday Black Raven's Wing and Gold Skull NXT, but it is still WWE. I was certain I would have put lots and lots of money on it if such a thing could have been done. I would have bet that Toni Storm was going to run in and knock over Zoe Stark and say, "We're not done. You got lucky, and I'm gonna make your life a living hell," something like that. Because Toni Storm and Zoe Stark had a good match at TakeOver. Seems like a decent feud to get involved. A non-title feud seems like something you could do. So I was absolutely certain they were going to do that. Instead, they just have Mercedes Martinez calmly step up to Zoe Stark and say, "Well, no, you're not. No, no, you're not going to take my title." Because Zoe Stark says, "I have my sights set on the ultimate goal." And Mercedes says, "Listen, your ultimate goal is going to be like me ultimately kicking your ass. So, I'm in Lex 9, not some rookie." So then they part ways without throwing a single blow. Amazing. I'm in on Zoe Stark versus Mercedes Martinez. As a rest stop on the way to Raquel versus Mercedes Martinez. Rob Reed says Tommy Dreamer got super over as the babyface underdog who comes up short. It's true. He did. Rob Reed said, "Love the new Edge. Rough show tonight. He is so good. He really is. Like, he's not what I expected from Mr. Rough when the whole thing began." Osqual says, "Man or woman, this company has proven more than adequate in booking babyface champions. I'm certain Raquel is in good hands." Did I read that in the proper mock sarcasm voice, Wallace? I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I also have apprehension. But I just love Raquel so much. I feel like there's something, still so much they can do there. Okay. So maybe the most and least main roster thing that they did was have these four people hate these four people. There are two men and two women on each side. Let's have a big 8-person intergender tag match as the main event of a show that had a title change and a different title match and a big time awesome non-title affair between Scott and Ruff. You easily could have booked the final segment as Raquel Gonzalez addresses everybody, and the final image of the entire night could have been all three champions holding their belts up. That was something they could do, but instead they did, "Hey, let's have this completely unnecessary, really, 8-person intergender tag match." You know, the one where, like, I'm a man and you're a man, and if you tag your partner who's a woman, then I just have to get out of the ring and slow everything down and make it unbearable to watch. That was the thing that they put in their main event slot. And then The Way and Bronson and Dexter and Ember and Shotzi decided, "Well, let's take that formula and make it not suck," which is it's a revelation. There was a lot of woman on man violence, very little man or woman violence, unless you count Bronson Reed just standing there as Candice LeRae jumps off the top rope and bounces off of him. There was very little women on man violence. I think they're building to that very slowly. If they ever actually get to a full on man versus woman fight. But I appreciated this for everything that it was, especially Indy. She was great. She was like, I'm going to lay here and I want Dexter to pin me is what I thought she was doing. But apparently she wanted him to kidnap her. But I didn't realize that she was playing on his sensibilities as a white knight. Like, didn't Frankenstein do this? Like, if the woman sees him and screams and passes out and faints, Frankenstein is unable to stop himself from picking up the damsel in distress and walking away with her. And that's now, see, the problem with that is now you gotta get a bunch of people. Bunch of PC kids in robes with torches and pitchforks, and they got to go storm the castle and get get Indy back from Dexter. Although I don't think Indy wants to be rescued. As she was being carried out, she looked back at the camera, flashed a thumbs up and a wink. I'm in. Let's do it. I mean, they're gonna keep the North American title on Johnny for a while, I feel like. And they're just gonna keep that mid-card belt is gonna be tied up with The Way and all their comedy stuff. And whenever Johnny has a title match, it'll deliver. It'll over-deliver because it's Johnny wrestling. It does kind of suck that like we could do all of this without the belt being involved. You know what I mean? But I think it's all very good. Bronson, like they did it. Everybody got a chance to shine. Ember hit a huge eclipse on Austin Theory off of the shoulders of Bronson Reed. I'm not really sure exactly how to explain the way that Shotzi dropped Candace face first across Austin Theory, and then Bronson Reed hit as Wade Barrett is fond of calling it, tsunami. He hit the tsunami. Wade Barrett is never better as a commentator than when he yells out the name of Bronson Reed's finisher. And I'll go with that to the grave. I may go to the grave tonight, considering I wrecked my voice screaming tsunami. But Bronson hits a tsunami on Austin Theory to win. It's a perfectly innocuous little 8-person intergender tag match that doesn't really have any meaning behind it whatsoever, except for The Way continues to lose. And yes, Dexter Lumis did kidnap Indy Hartwell, so we'll see where that goes. Notable names not on NXT this week. Not something they needed to be, but not. LA Knight, who was ubiquitous leading up to TakeOver, not on and not mentioned. Cameron Grimes, who's so great, is his new Kiss My Grits, I Got Rich character. Any episode of NXT that does not feature him in some way is lessened by him not being there. Finn Balor, not on the show. We'll get there. The new NXT is very. It's a work in progress. They have, as much as I don't love it, Cross being champion is something they wanted months ago. They booked Keith Lee to look like a toddler in the ring versus Karrion Kross. None of his offense worked. He was booked to be beaten badly. So they wanted that Karrion Kross to be their champion back in the summer. And only because he got injured was Finn Balor champion. So they finally have the thing that they wanted. What was their plans before he got hurt? Are they going to like just now they can, now you have the opportunity to tell those stories you wanted to tell. I hope you got those things ready. You put them in the chamber, fire them out. Let's go. Don't waste time. If you got a story that you wanted to tell of Karrion Kross as champ, now is the time to tell it. And Raquel as champ, her babyface booking remains to be seen. I love MSK as the new tag champs, although some people in attendance do not. But there are no shortage of challenges for them as well. And the North American Championship seems kind of tied up with the way and their shenanigans. But Kushida finally has gold. After the first episode of Tuesday NXT, I really, really enjoyed myself. I'm looking forward to this being a thing that I can also focus full time on and not be splitting my focus between two things at the same time. And nobody has to worry about like ratings head to head. Did so-and-so beat so-and-so in the so-and-so demographic during this quarter hour? Just fucking watch good wrestling, everybody. I can't wait to watch tomorrow night. AEW's got a great card lined up. I can't wait to watch it and not have to watch NXT at the same time. That makes everything good. So last super chat of the evening from Drew Nicholas, friend of the show. Says, wonderful show, Alex. Thank you so much. I only checked out the main event, and while it could be main roster, I actually enjoyed it. It's true. I said the same thing. It was a very main roster thing to do, but they nailed it. And they took the form and took it on its head. Everyone joined to be part of the Sour Graps Society. Thank you. The Sour Graps Society, that's what we're here for. Yeah, so I hope you all enjoyed the first show. Michael Mathis says, sorry, I'm late. What do you do with Kross as champ? Well, that's the main question. What do you do with Kross's champ? They're probably going to have him run through a whole bunch of people. Just one after the other. Some of them are going to be your faves. Sorry to say. And some of them are going to be people who really can't take the loss, but they're going to take a loss. We'll see. I'm assuming almost certainly one of the people that he's going to trounce is Pete Dunne. We'll see what else they have for him. Anyway, thank you for the super chat, Michael Mathis. So that was the first show of NXT. It's a very different thing. Thank you all. Like, there's so many people here watching this live. And for little old me, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I hope you guys enjoyed yourselves and you'll come back every week. Please subscribe to Fightful Select, where you'll get this, but like much angrier. Because Raw and SmackDown are not nearly as good as this was tonight. So I'm going to be starting a show about last night's Raw after Mania, which was so bad I might not live to see the morning when I yell so hard about that show. Because they did some bad stuff on that show last night. So yeah, tune in. If you guys are already subscribed to Fightful Select, jump on over to Fightful Select. That show should be starting here in the next 10 minutes or so. If you're not subscribed to Fightful Select, consider joining. It's a lot of fun. You get me and also a whole lot more stuff that is arguably way more important than just little old me yelling about bad booking over on Mondays and Fridays. Thanks, Vince, for that. But yeah, thank you guys so much. Again, the sign-off for the normal show was always been everything sucks, but I can't say that tonight. Tonight didn't suck.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.